Technically speaking, traumatic events induce relief-seeking behaviors. But speaking frankly, we can all relate to the recent ramping up of anxiety and the all-too-human desire to control, mitigate, or eliminate it. Untold tens of millions of Americans are putting in the work right now to stay sober, while others may find themselves in the danger zone of self-medicating. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent. And we're taking the time to start this week to find out what it means to break the cycle of addiction during a time of necessary physical isolation and quarantine. There is still help available right now for those who are ready, and your stories are welcome here this morning at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us ideas@wpr.org. Our first guest is the Public Information Chair for Alcoholics Anonymous, Area 75, serving the southern half of Wisconsin. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yes, good morning, Lee.
Appreciate you being here, and let's begin with the help that's available now. Where can someone, anybody, go to get help today?
Well, it's been a challenge to transition our normal processes for the meetings to an online environment, but by and large, that is what we've been able to do fairly successfully, I think. Basically, there are two primary resources for listeners in the southern half of Wisconsin. Those are the websites for our AA central offices. And there is one in Madison, there is one in Milwaukee, and those can be found fairly easily by Googling AA Madison or AA Milwaukee Central Office.
Chris, we've heard a lot about telehealth in the last couple of weeks. Is telehealth a part of AA meetings today?
Telehealth is, I would say, a component, certainly. It's basically the transition of what we normally do in a physical person-to-person setting, which obviously is not possible these days. So we try and transition that experience as faithfully as possible to an online environment or even simply over the telephone, and it can be at the level of the AA meeting, which can typically involve anywhere from several people to over 100 people, or it can be just in the one-on-one setting where you pick up the phone and reach out and connect with another alcoholic in recovery, either a newcomer or your sponsor. There are lots of options.
Group meetings, they're a bedrock of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm just curious, Chris, how important are these social connections to the process of recovery?
Well, I would say this, Lee. And again, I want to preface this by saying that I don't speak on behalf of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just another alcoholic in recovery. So this is just based on my own experience. But what I can tell you is that I think it's fairly well established that particularly for people who are new to recovery, isolation is a big deal. We come into recovery very frequently with a sense that nobody understands what we're going through or that we have a unique situation that others aren't going to be able to relate to, and that's very much not the case. There's a commonality among alcoholics that we discover once we arrive here, but when we're cut off from the means to get that message, that's an additional challenge. So what I would say is that We have Alcoholics Anonymous meetings this is the purpose that's been described to me. Basically, it's a means to spread the message of recovery to the still suffering alcoholic, particularly those who are new to the program. And so what we're trying to do is make those avenues of communication accessible in the easiest ways possible. And that involves letting folks know how do they connect with AA meetings.
Chris is our guest, a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, speaking with us this morning. And your questions and your stories are welcome here at 1-800-642-1234. If you are in recovery, if you have been looking for meetings, would be interested in your story this morning, and you can always email us ideas at WPR.org. Chris, how long have you been sober now?
My sobriety date is December 1st, 2012.
Congratulations. And as you put in the work, what does, and you know, everything's changed for everybody over the last couple of weeks. So what does living one day at a time mean to you personally in this time right now?
Well, it's such an interesting dynamic. As a recovering alcoholic, I had mentioned how this element of isolation is kind of inherent in the disease of alcoholism to begin with. And so when you compound that with the current environment, the challenge, I would say, Lee, is this. And again, speaking for myself here, when I was new to recovery, it didn't take a lot for me necessarily to decide that the effort required to get to a meeting might not be worth my time. And I that's only because I was sort of straddling the fence here as to whether I believed this was true about me or not, that I was powerless over alcohol. So if you gave me an easy available means to not make it to a meeting, I was fairly susceptible to that and ready to say, well, I tried. So in the current environment where there is this additional layer of challenge to connect with alcoholics and to get to a meeting, I think the danger for myself would have been that, well, looking at the world right now, it's the meetings are canceled, the physical meetings, therefore, well, that's as far as I'm going to go in terms of seeking out help. And so we are now trying to get the word out to particularly to those folks who are regular meeting attendees who have a little bit of sober time to be able to continue to reach out to the people that they're working with, newcomers, to say this is not the time to let your guard down. This is the time to double down on your efforts to get yourself to a meeting via the online mechanisms, and to continue to reach out to the still suffering alcoholic, the newcomer, on a level that maybe hadn't been happening even prior to this.
And as we started the conversation, Chris, and a discussion on how AA is adapting to meet the needs of those who are in the process of recovery, it seemed as though if you typed in AA and the community in which you are residing or staying currently, that you will be able to find a place to network in, to call in, to find a meeting, albeit virtual. There is one waiting for you. And perhaps because you don't have to be in a location, Chris, this is an opportunity to take a meeting at any time, at any point in the world, anywhere today.
That's exactly right. And I had mentioned the central offices for those two communities, in particular Madison and Milwaukee, but that's not the entirety of what resources are available. There are AA central offices in various other places in the southern half of Wisconsin, as well as virtually anywhere in the world. And again, for my... in terms of how to find those resources, my suggestion would be to Google AA, the geographical location where you are, and central office.
Yep.
And that should tip you to the appropriate resources. And then the other thing I would mention,
Chris, I'm going to pause there. We'll get back to it in a moment. I have to take a break, and I apologize. Chris is the public information chair for Alcoholics Anonymous Area 75, serving the southern half of Wisconsin. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network from Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Lee Rayburn, sitting in for Kate Archer Kent this morning, and we're taking the first hour, spending the first hour talking about recovery this morning and during a pandemic, and what it takes to get to a meeting and what it takes to put in the work to recover. Our guest is the Public Information Chair for Alcoholics Anonymous Area 75, which serves the southern half of Wisconsin. Chris has been sober since 2012, and I apologize for interrupting him. We were talking about where folks could find a meeting today, and it was as easy as typing in AA, your area, and central office was one step. And Chris, you said there was another that people could take?
Yes. From a more national perspective or even international, there is an app that you can find fairly easily on whatever platform app store you use, and basically if you search for Alcoholics Anonymous meetings app, and the one in question is a blue icon with an empty chair. And that's the one you're looking for. That is a meeting directory for anywhere in the world. And obviously, you can filter to select your area of interest, and that will put you in touch with meetings that are approximate to your location very easily.
What's sobriety like 8 years in, Chris, compared to day one? Where you stand today, looking back at where you were, what do you see?
It's an interesting question, because I mentioned a little while ago that my perspective about why I'm here and what purpose and what helpful functions can I serve is certainly different than it was in early sobriety. Today, the way that my sponsor has tried to give me direction is that the thing that I can do is to put my hand out there for not just the still suffering alcoholic, but the newcomer in particular. And it wasn't so long ago that I've forgotten what it was like to be a newcomer. It's as you might imagine, there's a level of fear and uncertainty that is absolutely part and parcel of the process of getting here. Again, speaking from my personal experience, and if there had not been someone putting their hand out there and saying, Chris, this is we hear what you're saying. We relate to the feelings that you have. I'm not sure that it necessarily would have been that attractive for me. But thankfully, that was the case, and that's what I try and do now.
Chris, the Public Information Chair for Alcoholics Anonymous Area 75, serving the southern half of Wisconsin. But there are meetings available for anybody who needs it. He's been sober since 2012, and we'd be interested in your stories this morning at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Chuck in La Crosse, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you very much for letting me participate in this conversation. I'm an addiction provider. I'm a doctor who takes care of patients with addiction issues. And first of all, I want to congratulate Chris for his period of sobriety. And I will say that everything I've heard from him is right on. I strongly supportive of the 12-step programs for either alcohol or for narcotics. And glad that AA meetings and NA meetings are being held online so that people can continue to participate. We're seeing a continued number of patients coming in for addiction care, and we are uncertain as to what is happening as far as usage rates, but since most of our patients indicate that they use alone rather than in groups, I don't think we're going to see a significant difference.
That's interesting, Chuck, and I appreciate the call. Chris, it goes back to the isolation that fosters addiction, and that in times like these, when we're all self-isolating for public health, we don't know how bad the addiction crisis could be out there.
Well, that's, of course, correct. And as I was listening to Chuck, something occurred to me that I've heard others say this in the online meetings as well as before this. when I was out there drinking, if there was a snowstorm, if there was some sort of something that got in the way of me finding what I wanted, I was very motivated to try and overcome that, to go out and get what I needed. And in today's environment, where we are all being inundated with the message, the necessary message of distancing, social distancing, and really disconnection by and large with the things that we're used to, the person out there who needs a drink is going to go and do what they used to do to get that drink, irrespective of the pandemic environment. And so what I need to remember is that I need to apply that same level of motivation and not letting anything stop me from seeking the means to continue to promote my recovery, as well as to continue to make myself available as a resource to others in recovery. The same level of diligence and dedication that I used to have to find a drink needs to be applied in the channels that promote recovery today.
Chris, anyone who's ever been touched by it knows this all too well. Substance abuse disorders do not just affect the addict. They affect every person who cares about them all around them. Family and friends of those with a substance abuse disorder have to be wondering this morning, what can they do to help their loved ones today?
It's a question that's very often asked. I've been approached by more family members and friends of alcoholics than I could count today. And on the one hand, the answer is not necessarily what they would ideally want to hear, which is that unless the person is ready to take the step and to seek help, there's typically very little that a family member is going to be able to do to push them toward that solution. The person really needs to want it for themselves. However, that doesn't mean that the friends and family members are powerless. What we try and do is to make ourselves available as friends and family members of recovering alcoholics, that when the person is ready for the solution, when they're ready to say, I need some help here, to immediately be in the position to channel those people in the right direction. So from that standpoint, it is helpful for friends and family members and loved ones of alcoholics or addicts, for that matter, to have the information available to them about where the online resources are right now. So what I said earlier about the finding those resources online.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you there, Chris, because we've got a caller here. Lynn in Viroqua, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you have to share?
Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to say that congratulations to Chris, but I'm relatively new in sobriety. I just have 5 months, and I've been in and out of the program. But one thing that was really difficult for me in the beginning was just going to a meeting. It was terrifying. What are these people going to think of me? What is it going to be like? And I will say this for anyone who's never gone to a meeting, I've never met, like, it doesn't matter where you go, people are super nice. But in some ways, for me, the online meetings are even more accessible because you can see people, but there's, you know, part of it's the physical presence. It's kind of, online meetings can be like training wheels almost.
Okay.
For in-person meetings.
Sure. I very much appreciate that, Lynn. And Chris, as we're wrapping up here this morning, potentially online meetings have an opportunity to invite more people in.
That's what we've been experiencing. I should say what I've been experiencing. I've seen attendance at meetings that I'm used to being a certain number be about a third larger than what I've seen from the former physical presence. And it's been remarkable. And what Lynn was just describing seems to be very prevalent, that you have a large number of individuals who maybe they disable their video, which is perfectly fine, and it allows them an access point that really the intimidation factor is dispelled. They're there, they're present, they're at a meeting, and at the same time, they're still sitting in their living room or their kitchen.
Chris is the public information chair for Alcoholics Anonymous Area 75, serving the southern half of Wisconsin. Our guest this morning for a full hour of discussion about recovery during a pandemic, and would be interested in you joining the conversation. 1-800-642-1234 continues after the news. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You know, no matter who you are, you may find that the Serenity Prayer, which is shared at many recovery meetings, can come in handy right about now. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent. And that Serenity Prayer, as it was originally written, makes some subtle but important distinctions. It begins with courage and calls on us to change not what we can, but what we must. Give us courage to change what must be altered, serenity to accept what cannot be helped, and the insight to know the one from the other. We're talking about recovery and breaking the cycle of addiction during a pandemic. How are you coping? How about your loved ones? Interested in hearing from you at 1-800-642-1234 or your email at ideas@wpr.org. Our next guest is Jesse Heffernan, a recovery coach and consultant with Helios Addiction Recovery Services, which is an organization that helps people recover from substance abuse. Jesse, good morning and welcome to The Morning Show.
Good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to start with the same question that I asked Chris from Alcoholics Anonymous earlier, and that has to do with the fact that substance abuse disorder affects everybody that is in touch with an addict. So families and friends of those with a substance abuse disorder would be wondering this morning, during a pandemic, what can they do to help today?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lee. And fortunately, I was able to listen to Chris last time, too, and we'll hope to echo a lot of his thoughts. So I think one of the other components is, you know, it's not just about what are folks doing to connect with other people, but it's also, I think, a time for us to do some kind of self-reflection and check in where we're at as well. I know that there's a lot of folks that want to be reaching out and helping people. But at this time, too, we also want to stress, you know, like, have you checked in with yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, to kind of see where you're at, you know, before you start kind of, you know, helping everybody else, just to kind of have that idea. And like he mentioned, that there's not just online support meetings and telehealth services for the different 12-step fellowships, but there's a myriad of recovery supports that are starting to take off either through their own applications or through Zoom meetings. InTheRooms.com is a place that offers 130 different online meetings. So I think what we're seeing here is this significant shift into the Zoom and online kind of space. And it's going to be interesting to see what those implications have even after the quarantine piece. But there's a lot going on out there, and there's a lot of different opportunities for people to connect either with groups or one-on-one with peers, coaches, or professionals.
Jesse, it starts with a check on yourself. And if I were to check myself and say that I have some judgment about people who might be struggling with a substance abuse disorder at this time, if I feel as though it is something they had done to themselves, if I had felt that maybe perhaps this was something other than a disease, how would you respond in kind?
You know, that's something that I think is going to happen for quite a while. It's part of the stigma that we face, and we've seen it with other significant major health issues throughout our country. We saw it with AIDS, HIV, we've seen it with Hep C, and we even saw it with cancer, and we used to refer to it as the big C, right? I think we're on this curve now where we're understanding that substance use disorder is a brain disease. There's a lot of science behind it, and there's a lot of folks that will come to be able to talk about that. And to those folks, I would say, like, well, what is the kind of, what is your need to hold on to that, to judge someone who's struggling? And is that important right now? Or is it more important that we see that there's some people that are going through some tough times and that we try to meet them where they're at? It's not this pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality, but we really try to connect with people where they're at to offer them the help and services that they need. Because oftentimes what we find is that the substances themselves are a symptom of a much larger issues or trauma or things going on in a person's life. And so we want to be able to look at the whole person and offer them help that way.
Some substance abuse disorder as a symptom?
Yeah, so the symptoms themselves, the actual use of the substance itself, or the different type of acting out, if you will, sometimes it can be seen as secondary to things that are going on. So what is the origin of the reason why, you know, the person is choosing to use or has found that as a means of self-medication? And can we address those other scopes as well? You know, especially this time now, even when you saw Governor Evers and he shut down a number of things, right? And he left liquor stores open.
Right.
There was a lot of conversation as to why that is. But if you think about, you know, alcohol can be deadly to detox from if you're not doing it with the help of a medical center. So, you know, before we go and try to get everybody clean, if you will, you know, maybe there's some other things that we need to look at. And maybe we need to be thinking about, if this person is self-medicating, how do we best meet them where they're at?
Jesse Heffern is a recovery coach and consultant with Helios Addiction Recovery Services. Your questions and stories are welcome at 1-800-642-1234. Jeff in Sturgeon Bay, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you have for us this morning?
Well, I just wanted to point out a couple of things. I'm in Area 74, which is northern Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So we don't have quite the population base that is in southern Wisconsin, but, you know, recovery is alive and active there. Just wanted to add in about the national website for North America is AA.org.
Mm-hmm.
And right on the top of that website is that meeting app that Chris was speaking about. If you just click on there, you put in your location, and it gives all kinds of meetings around that area. And in most of those meetings, there will be a phone number to call. And if you reach out and talk to somebody, not only for the person that's looking for a meeting or looking for help, but generally they can refer to the people, to the local people that may be involved in Al-Anon or some other support.
So, AA.org. And Jeff, how have the online meetings worked for you?
Oh, they've been great. I'm stuck at home right now, as are most of us. Had meetings last night. I was in a meeting with my cousin from Ohio and about 17 other. This happened to be all male meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, I was on a meeting with people from 5 different countries and 23 different states.
You find this empowering, and does this work for your recovery, Jeff?
Yeah, it's been great.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm sorry. How long?
23 years.
Very much appreciate the story. AA.org is where you can find a meeting this morning. Jeff from Sturgeon Bay joining us. And Jesse, how has this coronavirus challenged your work as a recovery coach?
Well, I'd say, if anything, there's a lot more folks that are reaching out and looking for some of that one-on-one connection. And I think we're starting to see this trend, too, with the telehealth and telemedicine, you know, start to take off, where we're folks that are recovery coaches. And in Wisconsin, we also have peer specialists who can come in and, you know, they're in this lane between, you know, like the medical professionals and sponsors, mentors. And they're really there to just help people where they're at and help them develop goals and look at things in life to be able to find their pathway of recovery. And so I've certainly been getting more, you know, kind of emails and phone calls about setting these things up. But more importantly, you know, I've also been training recovery coaches for about 5 years. And the training piece of it, because more states are embracing this model, is starting to go virtual as well. So people, I think, in this time of having to stay home. They're looking for additional training and opportunities and ways that they can professionalize, if you will, their want to be able to help people and become coaches or peer themselves as well.
Jesse, how has the coronavirus challenged your own recovery?
Oh, you know, so this is what I, you know, aside from the anxiety, you know, and so for me, I identify as someone in both substance use and mental health recovery. So the anxiety has definitely gone up. And so I have to find more means, you know, the online meetings, connecting with folks more frequently, trying to find structure and routine every day to kind of make sure that anxiety stays at a manageable level. But it's, you know, it's been hard, you know, it's been difficult. And I think it's been difficult for quite a few folks. And that's why these online meetings and support services. And I want to thank you all for taking the time to talk about this morning, because I think just having these public conversations can relieve the stress for folks to even hear someone talking about this stuff and say, oh, I'm not alone in all of this. And there's a lot going on. One of the cool things that happened back in September is Google actually took on, you know, showcasing recovery platforms, and they have a lot going on right now too, showing where folks can go for online meetings. If you go to recovertogether.withgoogle.com, it has NA and AA and all the different 12-step fellowship meetings where you can get help from different support groups and all those things across the country as well. So these conversations are very important to let people know that they're not alone.
Jesse, as we heard from we've heard from a couple callers this morning, that perhaps there are some silver linings in all of these sudden changes. Certainly, they are disruptive to our structures and routines, and that can be a challenge. But putting meetings online perhaps open up avenues for participating, for eliminating isolation. You see some silver linings in all of this?
I certainly do. You know, like I said, that group, the online group, intherooms.com, has seen thousands of people join. There have been some groups that I'm aware of that they just continue to see more and more people. And so we know, like, you know, rough estimates are there's 23 to 25 million Americans who are in need of substance use treatment or help of some kind. And in the past, maybe 10 to 11% receiving that help. Well, now we have this whole other, you know, channel opened up where people can start getting this access to recovery support services, which may lead them to a treatment option, whether it be, you know, an outpatient or inpatient. But I think in a lot of ways, like you said, the doors just got kicked wide open. There's some silver lining with people being able to access online meetings.
Jesse Heffernan is recovery coach and consultant with Helios Addiction Recovery Services, an organization that helps people recover from substance abuse disorders. And if you have a story this morning or a question, still time for your calls and emails at 1-800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. Have you found challenges? Have you found opportunities? Have you found it harder to beat back isolation? And how are you working through recovery? Do you have loved ones who are find themselves in the midst of addiction? And what can we do to help? 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent this morning, and you're listening to The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network. Recovery requires socialization in just the same way that addiction requires isolation. That means this may be a challenging time, a triggering time for anyone with a substance abuse disorder. Over the last hour, we've heard about the ways in which help may be more readily available than ever. And during this pandemic, opportunities to get clean are available for those who are ready. Find resources at WPR.org/mornings. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent, and our guest is Jesse Heffernan of Helios Addiction Recovery Services, talking about the challenges of staying in recovery while we cope with the isolation and anxiety of this pandemic. Still time for your call, your question, or story at 1-800-642-1234. We'll go to Jody in Door County. Jody, good morning. You're on the Ideas Network.
Good morning. I'd like to speak to the impact that this isolation has had for family members, relatives, friends of alcoholics. There is a source available for anyone who's suffering from this. Al-Anon group available throughout the state, throughout the country, for those 23 million individuals that were spoken of. We know that there's many, many people who are related to, impacted by the activities of the alcoholics, and that we often come into a meeting saying, oh, how can we get the alcoholic sober, and find that really there are sources available to each of us to live a healthy, happy life.
And Jody, when you say each of us, you're talking about the loved ones of addicts?
Yes, I am.
And how has this helped you?
Oh, my goodness, it is a way of life for me. It has opened a healthy, happy way of life, whether the alcoholic is drinking or not.
I love to hear it. And have these times made it more difficult for you and your loved ones?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I do not have an alcoholic in my household right at the moment, but many, many friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it has affected all of us, of course. But isolation for the family members is equally as true. The feelings that we can't easily relate to other people at any time because of the shame of what's going on in our household, or the feelings of guilt, or inability to do something for. And
guilt, shame, and helplessness, so Jody. Yeah, I can read. I understand and relate to all of that. And Jesse, isolation not just for the addict, but the danger of isolation for the loved ones of addicts.
Yeah, that 23 million, and then you multiply that by, the family members, the folks that they work with, the friends. I mean, you could be thinking 80 to 100 million people. And so, when I've seen, folks speak to large groups and ask who's been affected by, substance use or mental health issues, everyone raises their hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're really looking at a time now where, is this an opportunity where you've got an engaged group of people where we can talk about these things and maybe have these conversations more plainly. And I would say too, like, this is a great opportunity as we talk about this to address some of the stigma and to address some of the labels that we use. We were talking earlier about diseases and things like that, we as a country have learned to change. And again, back in the day, it was, if you had cancer, you had the big C, and, we just focused on your disease kind of a thing. And now the same thing is happening with substance use, where, it's a person with a substance use disorder. We really want to be using person first language and not necessarily just define a person solely by, the thing that they've been diagnosed with, or what we categorize to be what we think is their behavior, which can be, difficult for some folks because of a lot of the pain and a lot of the difficulty that can come with someone who's in active substance use. But realizing that everyone's got their own pathway and that there's a spectrum of different ways in which people can get help. And we got to focus on them being persons first and not their pathology first.
Jesse, I appreciate that and would be interested in knowing, are there other things that we should avoid doing or saying when talking to friends about concerns related to the substance abuse disorders?
I think that's the biggest start. When we come into these conversations, so I, as a person, if I'm being directly impacted, by someone who's experiencing substance use disorder currently, it might be more difficult for me to have some of this language because my emotional kind of state is tied into it, right? But I think there's a lot of great research out there, Center for Addiction, Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, a lot of places that are showing better definitions of and how to talk with family members and how to do these kind of things. And walking in, and I think it's first understanding that this is a disease, and so how can we have empathy with that? Not sympathy or pity, but empathy with that. And, be able to talk from that place of compassion, because the last thing that I think people with substance use or alcoholism need is more shame or guilt and things like that.
Yeah. Jesse,
we don't need to compile those things.
I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jesse Heffernan, recovery coach and consultant with Helios Addiction Recovery Services. We have a link to his organization's website as well as all the other resources for those dealing with substance abuse disorders this morning at WPR.org/mornings. It's time now for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about how watching your parents dance as a child shapes the legacy you leave behind with your own children.
Have you ever been at a wedding and caught a glimpse of your parents slow dancing? Maybe you marveled, or maybe you cringed, but I'm willing to bet you felt something. Jan Larson shares a story about how watching her parents dance in the kitchen brought her comfort as a child, and now as a mother as she watches her children forge their own affections.
The legacy parents leave their children isn't always easy to spot. On those rare occasions when we get a glimpse of something good, it is oh so sweet. As a child, I delighted in my father's nightly ritual. He would sneak up on my mother as they cleared away the dinner table or wiped down the countertops, and what was our kitchen transformed into their private ballroom dance floor. I only have eyes for you. He crooned tenderly as he wrapped his arms around her, his face nestled into that space along the back of her neck and shoulder. Gently, he twirled her around, ignoring her mock protests, and swept her into his arms in a glide across the linoleum floor. The moment was brief, enchanting, and one that left a young child certain of her parents' love. All was right with the world. Some years later, I met and married my own darling. And then, one night while tidying the kitchen, I felt his arms wrap around me, hands turning me to face him as he guided me in our own dance across the hardwood floor. Happy tears pricked at my eyes as he twirled me, pulled me close, and then finished with the big dip. As toddlers, our children squealed with pleasure at Daddy's strength and the light in Mom's eyes. As teens, they offered eye rolls, shoulder shrugs, and the predictable, get a room, to which we replied, we have a license, marriage that is, to do this. But underneath the playful teasing, our children too were certain of their parents' love. And again, all was right with the world. Not too long ago, our eldest son stopped in for a Saturday brunch. As logs crackled in the fireplace and music filled our home, I busied myself in the kitchen. The little boy who once reached up to me, now a young man, put his hands on my shoulders and turned me to face him, pulling me toward him for his own dance. As we swayed to the music, he looked down. I want to be like you, he said. Stunned, my response was brutally honest. Why? He tossed his head back in a brief laugh. I just do. All my mistakes, all my flaws flashed through my mind. This would not do. I did not want to waste the moment. But what to say? Take the good but leave the rest, I fairly pleaded. Another light laugh. Okay, Mom. I realize now I don't need to fear for my son. He knows my flaws, yet finds reason to love. Perhaps in following his father's example, taking our dance and making it his own, he already has claimed the best we have to offer. If the legacy of children being certain of love is what we leave behind, then sweet is the knowledge that all will be right with the world.
Jan Larson is a journalist and professor at UW-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
You're listening to The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network.